You're listening to The Kelly Track Show. I'm your host, Kelly Track, author, coach, and eternal optimist. Each week, I'll give you lessons to elevate your life, reclaim your personal power, and truly awaken and transform. Your best life starts right now. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you, as always, for tuning in and for listening today. I always appreciate you guys hanging out with me for the hour or 30 minutes or however long these things go. Thank you. I so appreciate you. I really, really, really do love you because this pod has been doing super well. Like every time I look at the stats and the downloads, it's like going up like crazy, and it's all because of you. So I really want to give you a shout out and like a major thank you, because honestly, the success of this podcast would be nothing without you. And you really are such a gem, and I really appreciate having you in my tribe. So I wanted to make sure that you got some love today from me, because I love you. Thank you. And support for this episode in particular comes from my friends at Four Sigmatic. Now, I love working with people who are super amazing to work with. I want to give a special shout out to Ari. Ari bumped your guys' discount code up from 10% to 15%. So when you use the promo code KellyTrack, which is all one word at checkout, you get 15% off your order on 4sigmatic.com. And that is on big orders, small orders. There's no minimums. There's no maximums. If it's your first time shopping on 4sigmatic, or if it's like your 80,000th, you can still use that discount code to save 15%. I am really loving Four Sigmatic myself. My favorite is the mushroom coffee with cordyceps. It's the little red package. It's their most popular blend. You will def see it on their website. And I love it because it tastes the most like coffee. I'm often asked, like, what does this stuff actually taste like? Or are the health benefits really worth it? Or how do you make this taste good? I like Four Sigmatic because it gives me that caffeine hit that I love. I love caffeine. I ain't gonna lie about that one. I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I'm a girl that loves her caffeine, especially because I don't drink alcohol. Caffeine makes me feel really liberated. So it's like my moonshine. Anyways, I really like this one in particular because it tastes really nice. It's not as strong as like an Americano by any means, and it's not as strong as an espresso. It's like a strong tea, and I really love it with just a splash of almond milk and yeah, just hot water and go. I literally just get the packets. I pour it in my reusable cup. It's hilarious. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll notice that my reusable mug says it's coffee time. And I'm always putting like Four Sigmatic in it. So there needs to be like an it's Four Sigmatic time mug. But I just put in the Four Sigmatic packet. I add some hot water. I add a splash of almond milk and I go. And I like it because it doesn't give me the jitters and the tummy troubles and the midday crash. That's the main reason why I drink this stuff. So if you want to give Four Sigmatic a go, you can use the promo code KellyTrack, all one word, at checkout for 15% off your order. So today on the podcast, I wanted to share with you some of the woo-woo resources that I am totally loving and I'm super obsessed with right now, because I know you really enjoyed that episode I did at the end of 2017 called Oprah Kelly's Favorite Things of 2017, where I basically played Oprah for the hour and listed off all the resources I was obsessed with in 2017. I want to give you guys a little bit of an update, because if you've been following me on Instagram, you probably noticed this, but like I've gone pretty woo-woo. I have been dabbling a lot more in spirituality, in my spiritual awakening. I've been really interested in law of attraction, and I've been getting super into that stuff. Like manifestation is my jam right now. So I wanted to give you some of the tools that have really helped me and might help you if you're curious and if you are on this path too. So I'm going to begin with my favorite. It is Jess Lively. I love Jess Lively. I finished her Flow with Intention online masterclass about a month ago, and I loved it. OMG. I still watch the replays of the videos. Shout out to all my Flow friends that are listening. My unicorn sisters, my unicorn girl gang. I'm obsessed with what Jess Lively does. I love Jess so much, and Flow with Intention online gave me so many amazing tools that I use every single day. Her work is all about law of attraction, but Jess is an Abrahamster meaning that she has taken the work of Abraham Hicks, which I'll get into later, and played human guinea pig and did all of it over like 10 years. And then she boiled it down into this course, Flow with Intention Online, which is all about flowing with life and making things easy and fun and understanding the manifestation process into 4 simple modules. So I love that course. And that was so helpful because I've been interested in manifestation for years. Like I read The Secret, I can't even remember if it was like high school or early university, but I've known about this stuff for a long time. And I really loved E Squared by Pam Grout, which I shared with you before. But this course in particular was really excellent because it gave me so many good tools. The most profound thing that Jess always teaches, and she shares in her podcast as well in The Lively Show, if you listen to it, this concept of getting into alignment before you take action, which is something that I'm obsessed with. If you follow Tony Robbins, it's like getting into peak state or getting into state and then doing stuff. So my alignment practices I take very seriously, and I talk a lot about my morning routine and my rituals and what that looks like in my course, Your Best Life, in Module 8. But I think that piece is the most important and transformational for me in terms of law of attraction and manifesting what you want and raising your vibration. All the stuff I like comes from getting into alignment first. So def start with her podcast if you're interested in that kind of stuff. Now, on this topic of law of attraction, I've also got into this book called Reality Transurfing. Now, I have been really enjoying learning about reality transurfing. It's a very huge book. So I really enjoy hearing things broken down by other people. And I'm loving Aaron Doty's YouTube channel. He talks all about law of attraction and this book called Reality Transurfing, which is written by a Russian quantum mechanics physicist. And he breaks it down. One of the most important things I've learned from Aaron is this concept of decreased importance, aka taking your ego's favorite chew toy, as Jess Lively would say, like the thing that you fixate on all the time in your life that's probably not going as well as you want it to, and taking it off a pedestal. Now, I've had this game that I have been playing with myself about my ability to manifest hair elastics, almost to the point where it is hilarious. Like, I'll start laughing. I'll be in the middle of Equinox and I'll just like laugh because I'll think literally, oh shit, I forgot a hair elastic. And then I'll see one on the floor. It's so funny. Every time I go for a walk on the seawall around Coal Harbor, where I live right now, it's like I walk out of the house and I think, okay, when am I going to find a hair elastic? And I'll find one within the next minute on the floor or like on the sidewalk. And it's almost this joke because I don't give a shit about the hair elastics. I don't pick them up when I see them either. Abraham Hicks always says it's as easy to manifest a castle as it is a button, except you have great wanting with a castle and no wanting with a button. Now, that sounds very Abraham Hicks-like in Abraham Hicks's channeled dialogue, but the thing here is that buttons and hair ties have no importance. Like, you literally don't care. You're like, I have a button on me. There's a hair elastic on me somewhere. I have hair elastics in the bathroom. It doesn't matter if I don't even have a hair elastic for class. I could ask the front desk for an elastic band. I could ask a friend. It's easy to find hair elastics. Now, that has like totally shifted my perception on law of attraction because I was getting so good at finding these hair elastics. I still am. It's still a game to me and I love it. And I was like, oh, well, what if I just did this with the other areas of my life where my ego is like fixating on? Like, my ego fixates on stupid things like YouTube subscribers or like, oh man, I don't know, like how pretty my Instagram photos are. Like, I like things to be visually aesthetic. And it's like, well, your ego just gets into stupid stories about like stupid stuff. But then there's the stuff that I don't focus on and it goes really well. So case in point, I never really check the stats for this podcast. I peek in about once a month to look at downloads. That's it. Now, this is more complex, but in terms of quantum mechanics, which is the science component of law of attraction, quantum mechanics always talks about how when particles are observed, they actually behave differently than when they are unobserved. And a really good example, if you're looking for this in a video tutorial, is the double split method. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can watch an explanation about what that is. But part of why I think the podcast does so well is because I kind of go into these interviews with you guys or these conversations and I just speak. Like, I just talk from the heart. I just share what I think. And I don't really care how many downloads I get because the downloads, like, it's like not up to me. And I just don't even care. And I don't really check. I sometimes check if like a podcast supporter wants to know. Like, for example, Four Sigmatic asked me the other day about download numbers. So I had to go pop in, go look and go report back to them and keep them updated. But other than that, I don't really check. And I think it's because I have decreased importance. I'm like, I'm going to put this out here and whatever happens, happens. And if people like it, that's amazing. And if people don't like it, that's amazing too. It doesn't really matter. But I remember when I was trying to hit my first 100 subscribers on YouTube, I needed to hit 100 in order to claim my domain on YouTube, which is important because you can only start posting videos that are longer than 15 minutes if you have a certified domain. And I was like, oh shit, I need these 100 subscribers. And I would check on that number every single day. And it took me months to hit my first 100 subscribers on YouTube because I was always checking. I cared so much. I was like, arg, I can't even post my guest interviews. This is annoying. My YouTube channel's not going up fast enough. I need these 100 people. Where are these people? And I had asked my friends on Facebook. I had to ask them like 4 times to help me hit 100 views and like ask my friends on Instagram stories and like ask people to please subscribe. And that's because it took so long because I think I had so much importance on it. So one of my favorite tips on manifestation is decreasing importance. Try to make it as lame and as basic and as unimportant as a hair tie or as a button. And don't care as much. It's sort of the secret. Now, I had kind of touched on this before, but I want to explain Abraham Hicks because that is another piece that I have been loving. So on this topic of law of attraction and spirituality, of course, comes up Abraham Hicks. So Abraham Hicks is a group of non-physical entities, and Esther and Jerry Hicks, they work together to channel Abraham. So Jerry has passed away, and Jerry and Esther are like a wife and husband duo. So it's just Esther. And Esther travels around the world and she kind of gets into this relaxed state. Her brainwaves drop down. She's in like the theta state, in the meditative state. And that's when she can open up and access channeled work. So she channels Abraham. Abraham Hicks isn't actually a real person. It's the information that is getting channeled to her. So this sounds kind of weird in concept, but it's not weird. Like I listen to it. It's really just like loving and happy and positive and bright. I remember first thinking and hearing about Abraham Hicks and thinking that it was going to be really weird and creepy and like demonic and like disturbing. It's not. Like Esther is like the sweetest person. And like Abraham Hicks is always like, you're doing well. All is good. All is fine. You're exactly where you need to be. I have been so enjoying listening to Abraham Hicks. They have a bajillion YouTube videos. So if there's a subject that you're curious about and you want to know what Abraham Hicks would have to say about it, aka a very peaceful, loving inner being and like inner wisdom would have to say about it, go look it up. If you are more of a book person or an audiobook person, I loved Money and the Law of Attraction by Abraham Hicks. I really enjoyed this one and I listened to it on audio because you can actually hear Esther narrate it and you can hear what she sounds like when she channels Abraham. And I really love that book because they talk about in detail the manifestation process from point A to point B. And I know that the word money is in that subject of the book, but they talk about just abundance in general, health, love, relationships, money, all of that in the bracket of abundance. And I really enjoyed that book. So if you're looking for like a starting point, I would recommend that one and that one on audio as well. Now I've talked about this book before in that previous episode I did around the holidays about my favorite things of 2017, but the book You Squared by Price Pritchett and The Quantum Leap Strategy by Price Pritchett. I love these books. I also listen to these on audio. I'm an audiobook person in case you haven't noticed. And this is all about how to go from you to you squared to magnify your results exponentially. So the quantum leap is when you change what you're doing right now to get some high velocity results. I listened to both books. I love them because it's all about like, you know, work less, find the elegant solution, trying harder is the trap. Do what's easy. And I think those are really great messages that stuck with me. But the Quantum Leap strategy is something I use every day. It's not something I talked about in Your Best Life. This is a key piece of my morning routine that I use every single day, but I didn't include it in Your Best Life on purpose. It would be really legally inappropriate for me to talk about the Quantum Leap theory and how I use it in my life in a paid course, because that's like copyright infringement to the maximum. So I'm going to tell it to you right here instead. I love that book. And when I get into my morning routine and I do my morning alignment and I spend that time getting into my alignment and my peak state, I also do my appreciation and I make sure as well to conclude and end with this sentence, which is right copy paste from the Quantum Leap. So it goes, I'm making the quantum leap. I know exactly where I'm going and I'm open to the unexpected good. And then I date it. Now I change it. I say that I am open to the unexpected good because in the book they say, I am making the quantum leap. I know exactly where I'm going and I'm open to the unexpected. And I was like, that's too vague. So I made it unexpected good, because if you take Your Best Life, you know that I'm all about wording in the positive frame and making sure that you have words that are creating your reality actively. I've been doing this stuff with the quantum leap for like, oh man, ever since I came back from the Mediterranean, which I guess was in October of 2017. And I do it religiously every single day. It's my favorite. And I actually do believe that I did get a quantum leap from October to now, which is end of March. Now, the quantum leap for me and my high velocity results, you know, I was expecting it to look a certain way. I thought it would be like some huge, you know, person sharing my work or like a ton of money I would come into, or like, I don't know, getting an interview with somebody really big, or like being on somebody amazing's podcast. I don't know. I was like, I think it's going to be like that. For me, the quantum leap actually came to me internally. It was an internal shift. It was this shift of going from U to U squared, but it was an internal thing. So it kind of all came around when I was making Your Best Life, because Your Best Life was such a pivotal piece in my journey. I made Your Best Life and put it all together and created it between that time of when I came home from the Mediterranean to, you know, recently when I kind of came back from Hawaii. I do my most creative work like between holidays. So anyways, that's kind of a side note for another time. But I put Your Best Life together, and Your Best Life was an idea that came to me from a divine download. I talk about this in Your Best Life about, you know, getting divine downloads and accessing your inner wisdom and your inner guidance. And it kind of hit me like, oh, you should do this, which I think was a key piece. Like that course is, I mean, it's my baby. I kind of get sometimes choked up thinking about it, and I get choked up watching it back because, I mean, I made it for me and it's taught me everything that I know. It's what I use and how I lead my life from the inside out. Everything I needed to know that I just didn't have growing up. It's everything I know about mindset and redefining this relationship with yourself and like living your best life by starting with the inner work first, which is so overlooked. But the quantum leap really did come for me from when I started asking for the quantum leap. You got to make the declaration, which is what I talk about as well in Your Best Life and what I teach in my coaching practice. Like, you got to declare that you want it, whatever it is that you are seeking. And it kind of came for me as this process and the unfolding of getting the divine download to make that course, to making it and like creating it in a way that was a million times better than I ever thought possible, to the point where I would listen back to the videos that I would talk about really deep and like heartfelt topics. Like there's one about, you know, forgiveness and forgiving yourself and forgiving others who have hurt you in your past, and listening to myself talk about those kinds of concepts that are still like difficult. It makes me so choked up that I am at that level of being a teacher and that I can actually create that kind of work. And that is where I think I got the quantum leap. It was an internal shift from going from honestly kind of feeling like a student for a long time to having this shift of like, oh my God, I am the teacher. I am the teacher. I'm not just the student anymore. Like, I know this shit inside out. I know this work because I've lived it my whole life. And this is it. So for me, the quantum leap came through as an internal shift and this total change. And I've shared with you guys before in podcast episodes, the one I did about money blocks and how all of this together has sort of turned into this new growth. Like, I have taken this exponential leap in terms of personal development through like literally doing all of the mindset work, to putting all of this stuff into practice, and to like committing to it every single day and showing up every day. So for me, that quantum shift and that quantum leap happened internally. It didn't happen as like a Tim Ferriss podcast interview, and it didn't happen as like some big news outlet getting a hold of my work. It's not like the New York Times was like, oh, we're going to do a little front cover article on Kelly Track. Like, no, it was an internal shift. I'd say the physical manifestation of all of that and all of that internal work that I had done from October to March, which is actually quite of a short time frame if you look at it. All that internal work I had done in order to like get to the point where I was like seriously effing strong and rooted and confident as being the teacher and doing my work and getting more coaching clients and all of a sudden having these like exponential results was the manifestation of getting into this brand new beautiful place and living here and playing at this level, which was even a huge leap up from where I was before. So I would say that is the physical manifestation. But it came through an internal shift. This is what I really want to hone in with you guys here. Everything happens as an internal shift. Like, the feeling is the first manifestation. That's what Abraham Hicks always shares. And I didn't get that for a long time. But the feeling for me manifested as a change in my thoughts, a change in the way I think, a change in the way I act and I talk. Even when I look back and think about things that I had posted on Facebook back then versus what I post now, or like what I wrote in my journal in like times when I was working with coaches of my own versus what I wrote now, it's so different. And it's literally because I have just changed my thoughts so much and I have actively chosen to change my thoughts. Now I'm going to do a little bit of a shift. So that's kind of everything I've been loving with law of attraction and manifestation and raising your vibration and quantum mechanics. That stuff is totally my jam. So super duper my jam. Now, I'm also into a couple of different other like woo-woo new agey things. So the crystals are new. I was gifted some new crystals from my sister as a housewarming gift. So my rose quartz, my citrine, and my blue calcite. She just picked them out because they're cute and she knows my taste really well. So they're like totally spot on and really pretty. And like, I'm just obsessed with them, but I've been having fun playing with them. I don't really do anything special with them. I hold one when I meditate. I leave them on my desk. I pick them up. I look at them throughout the day. Sometimes if I'm doing actually a podcast interview, I'll hold on to one, or I'll play with it, or I'll put it beside the microphone. And I kind of like intentionally will pick one out and let it hang out with me. They're also really pretty. So I've been enjoying the aesthetic qualities of them. I love aesthetics. So pretty things make me happy, and having pretty things in my work environment make me happy. So I enjoy having that little sparkle of happiness when I look at them. I'm looking at them right now. I have my little citrine on my desk, as well as that blue calcite. And they're just pretty. They're like pretty to look at, because what else am I going to look at? Like the people across the way that live in the other condos from me, like they're not as pretty as my crystals. No offense to my neighbors, but I love looking at the crystals. I've also been really enjoying tracking the moon. So this was something I had shared in the episode with Indigo Colton that I did and that you guys loved. I got so many downloads on that. And that's because it was so beautiful and so fun. This whole concept of flowing with the moon came from Ezzie Spencer, which is where I first learned about it. Ezzie Spencer, she was a former lawyer. She's actually Dr. Ezzie Spencer, but she started kind of working with the moon as this feminine practice. And she would just track the moon phases in the sky. And then she started realizing that certain phases had a yin energy and a yang energy to them. So an energy of efforting and an energy of surrendering, which I've been really liking. I've been really into this concept of flow, of course, from Jess, and this concept of flowing with my yin and yang energies. I've been really, really working on developing my yin energy and cultivating that yin energy and being okay in the fact of I am just choosing to be, not do. So you've probably noticed in the tone of the show and the questions I've been asking my guests, and including the guests I've selected and had on the show, because I just have guests on that I love and people that I really look up to. And I ask them the questions that I'm curious about and the questions that I think you guys would be curious about in turn. And I've been really interested in this concept of going within, going deeper into who you are, making space, talking to your intuition, cultivating that inner knowingness, getting like grounded in your yin energy, your feminine energy. I am obsessed with that right now. I think it's because I spent so much of my life rooted in my masculine yang energy. Like literally my whole life from honestly elementary school up until like a year ago, maybe when I started KellyTrek.com. And even when I started this company, I was still really, really in my yang, like yang in business school, yang in, you know, San Francisco, yang in the beginning of starting a company. And now I'm like at the phase of like, everything's going fine. Let's try working with yin energy. So I've been really cultivating this practice of tracking the moon cycles and just noticing what it is in the sky. I like to write it down in my journal. I like to make it pretty. So I make it all purple with blue little stars. It kind of just started off as something fun to do. And then I started working with it. Like on the days when it says to yin, like I try to take a more yin approach. And the days where it is more yang and the moon is in a more of a yang state, I do yang it, more yang things and more yang activities. Now, not every day is going to be a yin or a yang day because we all live in the modern world. And Ezzy points this out really well. Ezzy has a new book out called Lunar Abundance. And I am working to get Ezzy on the show because I love her work so much. But I have been following this practice to remind myself that it is okay to have a more yin day, especially on the days and during the times when I'm working weekends. I don't always work weekends, but sometimes I get this creative energy to work with, like my ideas or whatever comes into my head, and it's like I can't stop. I love what I do, so it's very easy for me to spend time doing work. It's my hobby, it's my passion, it's my business, it's all rolled up into one. So sometimes it's hard for me to take that pause. So tracking that moon phase has been really helpful because it's like, hey, you're in a yin stage. It's okay if you're going a bit slower. It's okay if you're not answering emails so quickly. It's okay if you didn't get all of that work done today. It's okay if you didn't get back to that person. Like it's a yin stage. And you kind of get almost like 3 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off. So 3 days of yin, 3 days of yang. And I enjoy that because I know I can be yang and I love yanging. I don't know if yanging is a word, but I love yanging. I love taking action. I am a hardcore rhinocorn, as Jess would say. I'm in the middle of a rhino and a unicorn. I love doing the action. I love being in my masculine. It's where I thrive. So it's been so critical to know that I can also do well in my yin energy. On this topic of yin energy, I'm going to touch on this piece about going into the feminine and embodying the feminine. Now, we all have these two types of energies in us, this feminine and masculine energy. And this has nothing to do with your gender or whatever gender you self-identify as, or wherever you fall under the spectrum of gender, or if you're genderless. It doesn't matter. It's just sort of feminine and masculine energy. The yin and the yang, the black and the white of the little yin-yang symbol. It's embodying that. So as I have learned to come home into my body, and if you guys are new to this, you should really listen back to that episode I did with Connie Chapman. I love Connie. Connie is the embodiment of all of this stuff, of going within, talking to your intuition, getting guidance from your inner being, slowing down, tuning in, embodying the feminine. I am so gravitated towards that. I have this secret obsession. It's not so secret because you guys look at the show guests. I have this obsession with Australian women right now that are really like rooted in their feminine. And they're all like, you know, flowy dresses and, you know, embodying the divine feminine and what that means and pretty crystals and like, you know, hanging out at the beach. I've been just obsessed with that because sometimes we get obsessed with stuff because it's a mirror to what's inside us, but it's what's begging to come out of us. So for the longest time, I was like, my sister would make fun of me because I would follow all these Australian people and like watch their YouTube videos. And like, you know, all of my favorites, they've been on the show. you know, like Kate Cattle and Connie Chapman and Ange Simpson. And I love Melissa Ambrosini, who I am hoping to see her a guest interview with you guys because I love her too. But these women all embody this feminine energy for me. And that is something I really denied within myself for so long. I thought I was so strong in my masculine. And I talk about this and my return to the feminine in one of the modules of Your Best Life and how I had a story around it that I needed to clear. So that's been a fun thing I've been playing with as well. Just looking up stuff on YouTube that I've been enjoying about what is feminine energy, how to embody the feminine. I'm looking to find a guest that does this topic really well and have them on the pod. I haven't found that exact person yet, but when I do, you guys will definitely get an episode because it's something that I'm really curious about. It's such a cool concept. And I remember, this is so funny, I kind of got distracted there because it is 11:11 a.m. This is another thing I've been into is like numerology. I don't know, I don't dabble in it that much, but it's fun to see it if you guys are into numerology and like alignment of numbers and checking out what number signs mean. I think it's Joanne Scribe's Sacred Numbers where you can Google what numbers mean and what your angel numbers mean. That's kind of like fun. I don't take it too seriously, but I definitely have my certain numbers and I just saw 11:11, so I kind of laughed. Anyways, back to my funny story. So I was in this Sunday afternoon yoga class and the instructor was like, okay, what does everyone want to work on? And I'm always like, hamstrings. Like if you're in a yoga class with me, I'll probably yell out hips or hamstrings like every single time. And this one person, it was a dude as well. He's like, I want to embody the feminine. And I remember sitting at him and looking at him from across the room and thinking, what? It was almost as if he was speaking in another language. I had no idea what he was talking about. No idea. And do I understand what he was talking about now? Yes. He was talking about coming home into his yin energy, which makes sense in a slow Sunday yin yoga class. But I remember sitting there and thinking, what the F? Don't you realize that you are in a yoga class? Like, I don't know what you're talking about, my friend, but I don't know if you're going to find your answers here. Anyways, I had it all wrong. Classic example of our perception is our reality. You know, when you aren't aware to the unknown unknowns, you're the one that's in the dark. Now, there's sort of another bucket and an area of stuff that I've been dabbling in. And, you know, as you go along your journey, this sort of stuff will start coming to you. It'll start becoming expanded in your consciousness. You'll start seeing more videos on YouTube pop up about it. People are going to recommend books to you. Like when it's your time and when you're on your path and, you know, they always say like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So just for a second as a little hold up, like if you're not here right now, it doesn't matter. You will get to these answers later if you're ready to get to them and if you want to get to them. I mean, not everybody has to go deep dive into spirituality and being a seeker and understanding the big cosmic consciousness and the questions in life and using the 95% of our brain, not just the 5%. That's not for everybody. But if you feel like maybe you're just starting off with something really basic, it will come to you later. So just trust. It's all going to come and like, don't sweat it. My favorite thing that Jordan Bach said on his episode that he did on the Kelly Track show. I love Jordan, by the way, BT dubs. That episode was so good. If you haven't listened to it, defs replay it because it's such a good nugget on spirituality. But he was saying like how important it is to relax. Yeah, relax. Like spirituality and like understanding these kinds of questions and deep diving into this kind of stuff isn't a race. It is not a sprint. Like you could read all the books in one weekend, but that's not like the point by any means. It's the unfolding of the journey. It's living it out in your own life. It's seeing it mirrored back to you. It is asking the questions as you go along. So there is no rush for you to do all these things. Like if you are just starting with the crystals right now, enjoy the crystals. You don't have to get all like spiritual and woo-woo and all like new agey up in here. That will come if you want it to come and when it's ready to come. So just honor where you're at. I mean, it's true. There's a reason why I made module one of Your Best Life as honor where you're at. And there's a reason why that whole thing is 1 hour. But it's so true and we all forget it. So back to this spirituality topic. I've been very curious as to what the soul is, where our souls go, what that looks like. I read The Journey of Souls. Sorry, I didn't read it. I listened to it on audio. You guys are going to know all the weird quirks about me. But anyways, I listened to it on audio and I love that. That book is so fascinating because it talks about what our souls do between lives. Now, I believe that our souls have been here many times and our souls reincarnate over time. And sometimes we've been here before. And this one book talks about this scientist who would put people into a hypnosis state and get into their subconscious mind. Oh yeah, subconscious stuff is stuff that I've been really interested in as well, because it kind of all goes with this stuff. Like meditation and woo-woo stuff all is about like accessing your like subconscious mind, and like that's where your intuition is and all that good stuff. So he would hypnotize people, get them into a meditative state essentially. Hypnosis isn't weird. It's just like getting your brainwaves to slow down. That's literally it. It's not all like, you are getting sleepy. And it's not creepy or anything. It's like meditation. And then he would start asking questions. And when you're in that state, you can access the subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind knows everything. It knows everything from the, like, what the nurse was wearing at the time of your birth, or like what your doula was wearing at the time of your birth, if you had a home birth. And it knows everything from like the faces you've seen before, even on the street. It can remember everything, which is crazy. So he would ask these people's subconscious minds to tell them about what happened before they were born. And they kind of talked about this zone between your past life and your current life, and sort of this zone in the energetic realm of what I would describe as a heaven. Your subconscious mind can't remember your past lives. I was waiting in the book to get there because I was like, I want to know what my past lives were. Like, who was I? This is so cool. You know, the guy in the book says like your subconscious mind can't remember your past life as a reason, because it just wants you to enjoy your current life. Like, have fun right now, like enjoy your life. That's essentially the takeaway message of that whole book and of Abraham Hicks. Like, enjoy your life. Like, you're just here for joy. You're here for fun. Like, stop being so serious all the time. Like, you're gonna come back another time. Like, just have fun. Which is kind of why I love listening to this stuff, because it gives me that little dose of perspective when everything is like, oh my God, I gotta get this shit done. I gotta get this out the door. I gotta ship this on a certain date. And it's like, you're just here for joy. Like, don't forget. So if you're into that kind of stuff, and if you're into this spiritual side of your soul, that book is a really fun place to start. Now, the last more woo-woo practice that I've been really enjoying lately, which isn't really woo-woo at all, is meditation. It goes under this whole umbrella of stuff that is more new age, but has also been around forever. So new age is kind of a funny term in that sense. It's got this hilarious meaning because it's actually really old age that we are relearning now. So this is my meditation practice, and I try to meditate once a day. It's something that ebbs and flows. I do not feel like meditating every day, but I know that when I do, it feels really good. So sometimes I'll usually just lay on my bed. That's literally what I do. I like starfish on my bed. I like to do that because it feels good that way when you are in the middle of your day. And if you work at a desk job, it's harder to do this. You can't exactly lay on the floor in the middle of your office and be like, okay, everybody walk around me as you go to the printer. I'm just going to starfish right here. So if you work from home, this is a fun thing to try, or something you can do in the evening. So when you've been standing up all day or sitting, it feels so good to relax the spine and lay down. So that's like my baked in treat for meditation, because it's like, if you meditate, you get some sort of caffeine later and you get a lay down. So lately, now that I have the crystals, I'll like to hold a crystal or like put it on my heart or my forehead if it feels good. I just sort of go with the flow. I don't really have any specific routines. The one thing that I do try to do is a tip from Abraham Hicks. So when I meditate, I try to listen to an ambient sound as a way to access my subconscious mind. So this is like listening to this little hiss and hum of my refrigerator. Or if I'm laying in Shavasana at equinox, I will focus on the sound of the air conditioning in the background. It's just that little hiss. It helps you think about something because you can put your attention on something. I'll either focus on my breaths and start counting my breaths as like a 1, 2, 3, 4, and just keep going through 1, 2, 3, 4, those numbers, or count up to 10 and then count up to 10 again. And then also just listen for the hiss. I find that is the fastest way to train my brain to like stop thinking about other shit. But I've been liking that tip because it helps me get into that deeper brainwave and that theta state. So I never really understood what people meant when they're like, oh, I'm going to meditate on it, or I'm going to, you know, think about this in my meditation process, or like, I'm going to sit on it. My yoga teacher explained this to me the other day, that this is what people do when they say that they meditate on it. It's like you get into that relaxed state and then you kind of like propose the question and you let answers come to you and see what pops up. I didn't know that for the longest time. I was like, what the hell are these people doing when they say they're going to meditate on it? Like, you're not supposed to have any thoughts. So I don't really understand how it's solving any problem. When you're in the meditative state, let your subconscious mind give you suggestions. That's what it means. So sometimes in my meditations, I don't always go in with a question. I usually just lay down for the sake of relaxing and because it feels good to lay down for like 2 minutes to 5 minutes to 10 minutes. And I just treat it as a little rest break. If I'm trying to ask something or trying to bring something up, I rarely go in with a question, but I'll kind of just sort of see what shows up, if that makes any sense. In this phase of learning about higher consciousness and expanding my consciousness and accessing my subconscious mind, I've been really fascinated in this idea of where thoughts come from and letting things come to you and letting thoughts come to you and having these divine downloads and being a channel. Now, that's a little bit more on the extreme side of the stuff if you're just starting out. But I'm always curious in my meditation practice to see what drops in and what kind of profound ahas and insights I'm going to have that kind of come out of the blue. Because when they come out of the blue, I find that is usually from my subconscious mind because it's shit my ego and my mind could have not made up. Also, another way to tell that if it is your subconscious mind speaking is to think if this thought sounds like the truth. Like a real serious truth that maybe you have shunned away or denied, because that would probably sound like your subconscious mind. It's loving, it's peaceful. Your subconscious mind only knows good, so it's only going to tell you like nice things or stuff that's going to help you. It's never weird, it's never scary. I was kind of always worried about like, if I meditate so much, what's going to happen to me? Like, am I going to like go into space and like talk to the aliens? I never find that there's any kind of weird stuff that comes up in meditation. It's like loving thoughts. So if you have a loving thought that sounds like the truth, that's your inner being giving you guidance. That's your higher power. That's your subconscious mind. It's whatever word you want to call it. Different spiritual teachers have different names for it. My inner being, my inner guidance, my intuition, my subconscious mind, that I would all describe as one thing. It is, as Jess shares, the 95% of your brain that you don't actively use. It's the stuff that is running on autopilot. Now, the subconscious mind really ties in with my work really seriously because the subconscious mind also has a lot of stuff in there from the past, including all of your stories. So whatever you tell your subconscious mind, it becomes true. Like your subconscious mind is actually very moldable, which is so fun. I think my eyes just got really huge right now and I can feel them. It's kind of sometimes funny that this isn't a video podcast because you would really see when I get really excited about certain stuff. And that is DEFS, this idea of changing your thoughts and accessing your subconscious mind. So I talk about this a lot in Your Best Life, but when you use the spoken word for the worst and when you start saying stuff that's not true and you are iterating the wrong things and you're saying it out loud, like I'm always late, I'm not lovable, and whatever kind of self-limiting beliefs you have on repeat, your subconscious mind takes that to heart. It believes it as truth. That's why I have a whole process that I teach you guys in my self-study course, Your Best Life, about how to reprogram your belief system and how to pick a new belief system and how to like reprogram your subconscious mind to take on a new thought, because whatever you tell it, it believes, and it doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's fake. So even if you say, I'm always late all the time, but you sometimes you end up on time to yoga class, or sometimes you end up on time to a spin class, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between real and fake. So it's just going to keep iterating that story for you of I'm always late. Your thoughts are so powerful. Like the more I deep dive into this work around the subconscious mind and manifestation and law of attraction, it just amplifies what I already know and what I teach. Like your thoughts are things, as Wayne Dyer says. It's so critical to make sure that you are telling the empowering story of your life, that you are mastering your mindset to the best degree that you can, because when you master your mindset, everything else is easier because you have your mind on board. Your mind is running all sorts of shit all day long, and your subconscious mind is ruling your life. That's why you have to reprogram it and train your brain to think in the way that you want it to think, not just to let it run on autopilot, because you've got different parts in your brain. Like, you have the ego and you have your intuition. You have your, you know, your negative self-talk, and you have your inner being that's very loving. It's synonyms for the same words, aka like light and dark. You know, the ego that tells you that you are the fattest, ugliest, most horrendous person all the time, and like, how come you are wearing the most frumpy clothes in this yoga class? And then you have your inner being and the loving intuitive voice that says like, you're fine. Like, doesn't even matter. You're doing great. All is well. Everything's unfolding and flowing for you. You got to make sure that you are mastering your mind, so you train your thoughts so that you're focusing on one of those voices, not both of those, and you're not picking the wrong voice. OMG. I'm like literally pointing right now. Don't focus on the wrong thoughts. So if you are interested in this stuff and you want to dive a little bit deeper, I would so recommend checking out my self-study course, Your Best Life. It is totally live and up and running, so you can enroll in this course at any time. Everything is going to be in the links in the show notes below, but you can always take this course and you study it at your own pace. It's 8 modules. It includes 8 video lectures, 8 calls on audio where I say everything out loud as well, and it includes the 40-page custom guidebook for you to really deep dive on these questions and totally master your mind for good. The foundation of what I teach is truly mastering your mind and basically making your brain your bitch, because when you get your mind on path, everything is so much easier. Like, literally, when you get the inside right, everything else falls into place. Eckhart Tolle said that one. I can't take credit for it. And it's true. Like, when you get the inner work done first and you master the way you think and you pick the more empowering view of your lens and you think in a different way and you speak in the right way and you do all that like inner work that you can control, and when you lead from that sort of lens and that life, you get a whole different outcome. Like I shared before earlier, like, I really do believe that the quantum leap came through me through doing the inner work. And when you have this expanded consciousness and awareness and you get these tools and you use them, when you take action, it is amplified. Amplified so much more in ways you won't even imagine. And that's the most fun part, because you just get to do this inner work all by yourself, and like, nobody even knows that you're doing it. Maybe you're listening to the like MP3 file at work on your lunch break. Nobody knows that you are mastering your mindset. But when you go back to your desk, your actions, and you're going to have to make that sales call, you're going to do like 100 times better, because your ego isn't going to pop up. Your inner critic isn't going to tell you that you suck. You're going to like be your own coach, and you're going to be able to like basically play the role of me. How awesome is that? But you do it for yourself, which is wildly liberating and empowering. So my friends, if you want to enroll in this self-study online course, it is called Your Best Life. It is my signature course. It is the best-selling thing that I have ever made. And most importantly, I made it because I needed it. And the feedback I'm getting just blows me out of the water to hear that it is been described with words like mind-blowing and beyond incredible, and that it just cracks people wide open. Like, that makes me choked up, because I just share and teach you guys what I know and what I know to be true. And through my whole journey, like, this is the essence of who I am. And it's such a gift and an honor to share this with you. And I just really appreciate you tuning in every week. And for those of you that enroll in the course, I want to let you know that it just means the world to me that you find this work transformational too, because it's changed my life a million times over, especially in the harder parts of my life that, you know, stuff I don't talk about publicly in the same way you don't talk about it publicly, or really difficult moments. And having the ability to shift and actively shift and choose your thoughts, it's just changed my life a million times over. So thank you as always for your love and for your dedication and for your support. And I just so appreciate you. I hope you know that. I really do love you. I know love can be a strong word, but I definitely feel love for you. And the fact that you spend the hour with me right now, like listening to this, it doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you so much. I love and appreciate you. And until next time, have an amazing day, and I will see you back here soon. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. If you love this episode, please take a second to share it with somebody that you know needs to hear this message. And if you feel so called and so moved, please write an honest review of what you think about this podcast in iTunes and leave me some stars. That would truly help me out on my journey to helping millions and millions of people. And until next time, have a lovely day, and I'm so excited to see you back here soon.